Chapter 4, Analysis, Considering Instructional Content for Online Instruction. Abstract. Instructional content is the last part of the second phase of analysis. During the instructional content analysis, the designer delineates the major steps and subordinate skills, subskills, that learners perform in order to reach the instructional goal. These steps and subskills are illustrated in a learning task map, LTM, containing a line that divides the new learning from the required entry skills. The LTM facilitates the ordering and sequencing of steps and skills. Task items and their identified outcome level are entered into a table known as the Task Objective Assessment Item Blueprint, TOAB. Later in the WBID model, the TOAB is used as a tool to match objectives and assessment items with task items. The preliminary goal statement is then reviewed and changed as needed to create a final instructional goal. Findings from the entire analysis stage provide implications for online design, implementation, and evaluation. This chapter describes the instructional content analysis. We explain the types of learning task maps and the numbering systems used and provide directions for beginning the TOAB. We then discuss reviewing the findings for all four of the instructional components and finalizing the instructional goal statement. The chapter closes with an examination of the implications of the instructional component analysis findings in the online design. Objectives. At the end of this chapter, you should be able to do the following. Define terminology associated with the instructional content analysis. State the purpose of the instructional content analysis. Develop a learning task map, LTM, for a content area. Convert task items and their learning outcomes for inclusion in the Task Objective Assessment Blueprint, TOAB. Generate a final instructional goal statement. Determine implications of the remaining WBID stages. Introduction. Instructional content analysis is the last part of the instructional component analysis in the WBID model, Figure 4.1. In the ID literature, this analysis is also known as instructional analysis, instructional task analysis, or learning task analysis, or content mapping. Instructional design approaches offer specific procedures to identify the sequence and number of steps required for learners to meet the desired instructional goal. Smith and Reagan maintain that using such an approach eliminates dead wood in the content. Furthermore, they suggest that, quote, decomposing goals into prerequisites does not mean that these prerequisites have to be taught in a piecemeal fashion. In fact, we suggest that you seriously consider strategies that integrate the instruction of these prerequisites in meaningful ways. The analysis of goals for prerequisites is conducted solely to identify what cognitions, mental processes, make up the higher order goals. This information will be used to design instruction that in some way considers these prerequisites so that learners will not be challenged beyond their zone of proximal development. End quote. The instructional content analysis in the WBID model is based on similar assumptions. The main purpose of this analysis is to identify the knowledge or skills that a learner must perform or learn to achieve the instructional goal. A second purpose of the instructional content analysis is to develop a learning task map, LTM. To illustrate relationships among the major steps and subskills to begin identifying the best sequence for learning the skills and tasks specified by the goal. The major steps are the main tasks to be performed by the learner and are considered to be the prerequisite skills needed to achieve the instructional goal. Smith and Reagan recommend keeping the number of major steps between 3 and 12. Dick et al. Offer a similar suggestion of no less than 5 and no more than 15 steps. Although these authors differ in the number of steps, they do agree that identifying too many or too few steps can be problematic. Smith and Reagan suggest that less than 3 major steps may mean that the designer is working with 2 separate goals, and more than 12 may mean that the major steps are being mixed with subordinate skills. In the WBID model, the term subskills is used for what is typically known as subordinate or prerequisite skills in conventional instructional design models. Subskills are those mental processes that learners must perform to achieve each of the identified steps and are, therefore, considered as prerequisite skills. Gagne suggested that a designer begin breaking down cognitive-oriented content before starting on attitudinal-related content. The designer should consider the following questions when breaking down a goal into major steps and when breaking down these steps into subskills. What must the learner already know or do to accomplish the task? What are the subskills? What is the outcome level for this skill? What are the relationships of these particular prerequisite skills to each other? What is the skill order and sequencing? The answers to these questions are stated in short phrases that include an action verb and the object of the action. That action verb then becomes a part of the learning task and later serves as the basis for the objectives and assessment items to be discussed in Chapter 6. Examples of learning task items are identify maple leaves, format a resume, and name state capitals. Identifying the corresponding outcome level for each task item completes the learning task analysis. The categories of learning, or Bloom's Taxonomy Revised, are used to identify outcome levels of each learning task item, just as in identifying the outcome level of the online instructional goal. See Chapter 3. Using these categories assists in linking the instructional goal, steps, and subskills to specific outcome levels within an LTM. The outcome levels for the previously identified examples would be concrete concept for identifying maple leaves, rule using for format a resume, and verbal information for namesake capitals. If using Bloom's Taxonomy Revised, the outcome levels would be comprehension, application, and knowledge, Figure 4.2. Developing a learning task map. During instructional content analysis, the designer organizes the web-based instructional goal, major steps, and subskills into the LTM, which is sometimes called a flowchart, or instructional curriculum map. The LTM is a graphical representation that illustrates the relationships among the goal, steps, and subskills, and in its final form becomes a part of the design document. Smith and Reagan suggest a three-step procedure for developing the LTM, identifying each of the following in sequence. 1. Major steps needed to achieve the goal. 2. Subskills needed to achieve each step. 3. Entry skills needed to begin the instruction. When building an LTM, designers work with the major steps and subskills to develop the correct relationships and sequencing. Breaking down subskills continues until entry skills are identified. Entry skills are the prior knowledge or skills that learners must already possess to effectively engage in the new learning. A dotted line on the LTM indicates the instructional line that separates the to-be-learned skills from the entry skills. The above-the-line steps and subskills lead to the instructional goal and are the content that will be included in the online instruction. Entry skills are below the line and are not developed as part of the instruction. It is also important to analyze the instructional content in relation to the learner analysis findings to determine where to begin the instruction. It usually takes several attempts to identify all of the appropriate steps and subskills. It will take several attempts to arrange and rearrange them so that the LTM reflects the most appropriate sequence for the WBI. Even the most experienced designers create several drafts before arriving at a workable LTM. Some use a top-down approach, working from the goal and major steps down to the subskills. Others work from a bottom-up approach, working from the subskills to the major steps, to the goal. There are times when a designer might employ a combination of the two approaches or use other approaches as well. LTM formatting. Most LTMs are formatted with boxes and diamonds, with arrows as connections. There is no reason that other geometric shapes can't be used to identify steps and subskills. These boxes contain the short phrases for each learning task item and its corresponding outcome level. See Figure 4.2. These formats need not be symmetrical. In other words, it is not necessary that there be equal numbers of subskills for each identified major step. The instructional goal is contained in a box, centered above the major steps. However, it is usually not attached to the last step. It is assumed that when the last step has been achieved, the instructional goal has been mastered. LTM numbering system. The LTM uses a numbering system to show relationships. The number system uses integers and decimal numbers and is placed in the task item box. Figure 4.3 presents an example of possible number placement. With the numbering system for an LTM, 1.0, 2.0, and so on, indicate the major steps toward reaching the instructional goal, and 1.1, 1.2, 2.1, 2.2 indicate the immediate subskill level below a major step. With each additional sublevel, a decimal point and number is added. For instance, the numbers 2.1.1, 2.1.2, 2.1.3 would relate to and be placed below subskill 2.1. Using the sequential numbering both presupposes and imposes an ordering of the steps and subskills of the instructional content. Although various instructional design models continue this type of numbering for the entry skills, zeros, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, etc., are used in the WBID model to distinguish the entry skills from the learning task steps and subskills. Three types of content analysis and LTM formats. Generally speaking, the LTM will show a procedural progression of the major steps toward the instructional goal. However, with the subskills, the LTM may have a hierarchical or procedural approach, or a combination of the two. Hierarchical analysis and LTM format. The hierarchical analysis and LTM format indicate a specified order of steps and subskills based on subordinate and subordinate levels. A hierarchical analysis presumes that the skills at a subordinate level must be learned before ascending to the next higher level. Subskills at the same level may be learned in any order. For instance, if intellectual skills are the outcome levels associated with an instructional goal, steps and subskills, then the participants should be presented with concepts before rules and rules before problem solving, and so on. Recall that Gagne's intellectual skills category contains 5 skills. These skills follow a specified ascending order from discrimination to problem solving. Intellectual skills require that learners master the subskills at one level prior to proceeding to the next level. But when these subskills are at the same level on the LTM, they may be learned in any order. In Figure 4.4, the online instructional goal and major steps are at the top of the LTM, with arrows leading from one major step to another. The subskills are in boxes attached to the major steps, with an arrow indicating an upward flow of the to-be-learned skills toward the goal. The numbers indicate an identified step and its related subskills. Each level of subskills must be performed in any order before moving to the next level. For instance, in the example with the goal of identifying trees of North America, see Figure 4.4, the subskills of 2.2.1, 2.2.2, and 2.2.3 are at the same subskill level and can be learned in any order. However, they all must be learned before moving up to the next subskill level, that of 2.2. Procedural analysis and LTM format. A procedural analysis implies that a step-by-step process is undertaken when achieving the instructional goal. This LTM is one of the easiest to construct, since the analysis of the instructional goal follows an orderly succession of major steps and subskills. With the procedural ordering of subskills, sometimes a step will repeat one or more steps. If so, it will be indicated by a line pointing back to the intended step. Figure 4.5 illustrates a procedural format in an LTM, which identifies outcomes based on Bloom's Taxonomy Revised. In this LTM example, subskill 3.1 must be learned before subskill 3.2, and both subskills must be learned to achieve the 3.0 major step of identifying northern state capitals. Combination analysis and LTM format. Sometimes the instructional goal, major steps, and subskills require a combination of both hierarchical and procedural analysis and ordering. Figure 4.6 illustrates an LTM that uses a combination analysis. In this example with the instructional goal, preparing an effective resume for job search, one major step is 5.0, format an offline resume. It has 2 procedural subskills, 5.1 and 5.2. 5.1 must be learned before proceeding to 5.2. In addition, 2 hierarchical subskills of 5.1.1 and 5.1.2 appear. These 2 can be learned in any order, but prior to achieving the 5.1 subskill. Gathering data on the instructional content. It is not uncommon for instructional designers to work with unfamiliar content. There are several ways to gain expertise in a particular subject matter. Designers may work with subject matter experts, SMEs, to gain familiarity. Observing SMEs or instructors teach or complete a given task provides valuable information, especially if the skill is a job-related task. Former learners also may identify missing, deleted, or changed information based on their experiences. Acquiring and reading reference materials, books, journals, websites, etc., or taking a course may help designers become familiar with the content as well. Reviewing the instructional content analysis and LTM. With any of these LTM formats, the designer notes any divergent points in the learning path. These goals indicate alternative directions or other steps. It is best to choose the most common, logical, and easiest path as the primary sequence for online instruction. This choice is especially important if the content is difficult, the participants are novice learners, and the environment has time constraints or other limitations. Alternate steps or pathways can be addressed later as a means to enhance learning retention and transfer. Once the designer is satisfied with the analysis and has a workable LTM, the sequence of steps and subskills should be confirmed for accuracy and completeness. Designers who are working alone may locate other experts to review the LTM. Generally, instructional designers work in teams, and, for confirmation, other team members or SMEs will review the LTM. Gardenscapes. Elliot conducts the instructional content analysis and creates the LTM for the advanced course, Gardenscapes. Because Elliot was unfamiliar with landscaping and gardening content, he relies on Callie for content knowledge to draw out the major steps and subskills. After a series of drafts and review meetings, he arrives at a workable LTM that is placed in the design document. Note, due to lack of space, the outcome levels are omitted in the Gardenscapes LTM. They are included in the TOAB, discussed later in this chapter. Elliot uses a combination analysis for his Gardenscapes LTM. Entry skills are based on the instructional goal and main objectives of the introductory course, Garden Basics. Elliot uses a dotted line to indicate the instructional line, and a 0.x numbering system to indicate required entry skills. When is the instructional content analysis finished? An instructional content analysis is not an exact science. Instructional designers become adept at analysis through experience and practice. However, it bears repeating that it takes a number of attempts to identify the major steps and subskills, as well as their relationships to each other and the connection to the goal. There is no one correct way of conducting an instructional content analysis or of creating an LTM. There may be many versions of the right LTM. The LTM is finished when the designer and, if appropriate, the client are satisfied with its content and format. Of course, modifications may still occur as the project continues. The ultimate satisfaction occurs when the design efforts are completed and the online instruction is implemented successfully. Task Objective Assessment Item Blueprint, TOAB. When the LTM is in more or less finished form, one last aspect remains, creating the Task Objective Assessment Item Blueprint, TOAB. The LTM provides an illustration or schematic of the sequencing of the major steps and subskills. In the WBID model, we provide the TOAB to show the links between the identified learning tasks and the outcome levels. Table 4.1. The designer can use the TOAB to illustrate congruence among all items, for example, learning task, objective, outcome level, and assessment item, starting by placing the major steps and subskills of the LTM in the first column, the learning task item, and number. The associated outcome level for each task item is placed in the third column. Later, the designer uses the TOAB to align the objectives and assessment items with the learning task items and outcome levels. We will be discussing writing objectives and assessment items in Chapter 6. Gardenscapes. Although Elliot could use other taxonomies, he prefers to use Gagne's categories of learning. Noting them in the third column, he places the TOAB in the Gardenscapes design document. Elliot's draft TOAB for the Gardenscapes. Finalizing the instructional goal statement. The analysis stage of the WBID model contains one more procedure, reviewing the instructional goal statement for accuracy. WBID is a fluid process, and new information may have been discovered during the various instructional component analyses. Consequently, the designer verifies whether the original or preliminary goal statement is still congruent with the content, learners, and context. Refer to Chapter 3 and the design document for your project. Furthermore, the designer checks as to whether this goal statement simply and clearly reflects the appropriate outcome level. There are four indicators that may suggest that the goal needs some adjustment. The first indicator is the inclusion of imprecise verbs, such as is familiar with, knows, or is aware of. These type of verbs indicate that the instructional goal is fuzzy. A second indicator that a goal needs revision is when the focus or object of the action of the goal statement is ambiguous. In other words, it becomes difficult to ascertain whether a learner achieved the goal if the goal statement is worded vaguely. Examples of such ambiguously worded goal statements would be a sense of pride in one's work or understands math. The third indicator is that the goal is written in terms of lesson activities or assessment events rather than in terms of achieving an outcome. An example is the student will pass the unit exam. The fourth indicator is that the goal statement is not centered or oriented on the learners. Instead, it is written in terms of what the teacher or instructor will do when conducting the lesson. An example of this fourth type is the teacher will demonstrate long division. To correct imprecise or ambiguous goal statements, designers should use action verbs that state the desired learning performance, linking the verbs directly to a specific outcome level. Further, designers need to clearly state the objective of the action. To remove vagueness and imprecision from the preliminary goal statement, Smith and Reagan suggest the following procedure. 1. Write down the things that learners would do to demonstrate that he or she had achieved the goal in an assessment situation. What are the indicators that mastery has been achieved? 2. Incorporate each of those indicators from Step 1 into a statement that tells how well, or to what extent, that learners will be able to do the performance. 3. Review the new WBI goal statement and address the following questions. A. If learners achieve or demonstrate each performance, will they have achieved the goal? B. Does the goal describe what the learner achieves at the end of instruction rather than during instruction and not in terms of assessment? C. Is the goal learner-centered rather than teacher-centered? If so, the designer can ask some additional evaluative questions. Can the goal be achieved through instruction rather than another solution? Is the goal related to an identified problem or based on the results of the analyses? Gardenscapes. Callie and Elliot review the instructional goal statement as originally written. At the end of the instruction, the participant will be able to develop a garden that follows his or her garden plan that is based on a garden theme of his or her choice and follows basic gardening guidelines and appropriate procedures. The designated outcome level is the intellectual skill of rule using, or apply. Although Elliot and Callie are satisfied with the stated outcome level, they are uncomfortable with part of the goal statement, shown in boldface, able to develop a garden. Instead of focusing on the developing of an actual garden site, they would rather that the participants create a garden plan and identify the sequence of necessary steps to complete their garden projects. In that way, the instructional goal is achievable for all participants within the time frame of the course, regardless of location and seasonal conditions that may be occurring at the time the course is offered. Their final instructional goal statement now reads as follows. At the end of the instruction, the participant will develop a garden plan that is based on a garden theme of their choice. The participant will be able to describe the appropriate steps to bring the garden project to fruition. The outcome level remains as rule using or apply. Elliot, with Callie's approval, changes some of the learning tasks and outcome levels listed on the original TOAB as well. These changes are noted in Chapter 6 as the work on their TOAB continues. Elliot includes the changes and provides a rationale for them in his design document for Gardenscapes. Implications for online design and delivery. According to Smith and Reagan, quote, consideration of the general characteristics of the target audience and goal and outcome level, context and content, may be what elevates a mundane segment of instruction into compelling, imaginative, and memorable instruction, end quote. The findings from all four parts of the instructional component analysis, chapters 3 and 4, provide designers with implications for the remaining WBID stages and enable them to identify the capabilities and limitations of their projects. Determining such implications is one of the most important aspects of the analysis stage, yet this task is sometimes minimized or performed in haste. A designer may rush through it to move the project forward. Alternatively, while skilled at analysis, a designer may not be skilled in drawing conclusions. In other words, he or she might not be able to point out how the results might affect the design or implementation of the online instruction. Furthermore, a few may view the analysis stage as merely routine tasks simply performed to satisfy a project requirement. However, asking the critical question, and so what does this mean for, is important. Or, more pointedly, asking, how does this information further the effective design and delivery of the instruction may prevent inappropriate, inadequate, or inferior online instruction being created. Influencing the remaining stages of the WBID model. Designers need to consider not only what was discovered about the context, learners, and content during analysis, but how that information will be used in the other design stages. For example, the final instructional goal statement and its outcome levels has direct bearing on the types of instructional strategies that are identified and developed in concurrent design, the stage in which design, development, and formative evaluation tasks are conducted simultaneously. It was introduced in Chapter 2 and is the subject of Chapter 6 to 8. To illustrate, when an instructional goal is established at an application outcome level, the instructional strategies should provide detailed procedures for that application, provide examples of how the process is and is not applied, and allow participants to demonstrate performance of that application. By contrast, when an instructional goal is at a verbal information level, then the instructional strategies should illustrate and provide specific facts, figures, and so on, and allow for types of practice that promotes retention and recall. Results of the instructional content analysis impact the design as well. Designers must be cognizant of where they will host the online instruction. If they are using an LMS, they need to be aware of the tools and features included with the LMS. For instance, some LMSs, especially free versions, may contain restrictions that impact how instruction is implemented. These and other environmental features affect how the designer will structure the WBI pathways that are used for learner navigation. Learner characteristics have a great deal of impact on the instructional and motivational strategies. For example, general characteristics such as age, general ability, reading level, and so on will affect the size of the instructional chunks that are presented, as well as how many chunks are needed for the participants to meet the goal and the level of detail that must be provided. These characteristics, along with cultural, ethnic, gender, and other identifiers, influence the types of examples, the amount and types of practice, and the type of feedback that should be used. For instance, learners who have a familiarity with the content will not need extensive amounts of practice, as will novice learners. Additionally, it is important that designers understand the types of humor that are and are not appropriate for online instruction and learning, because most interactions do not contain verbal language, tone of voice, and voice inflection, and therefore intended humorous messages can often be misinterpreted. Consequently, the designer and instructor must have a clear conceptualization of how the participants' backgrounds, culture, ethnicity, age, gender, etc., will affect their response to any attempt at humor. Additionally, ensuring that a message is not to be taken seriously is highly dependent on a skilled instructor's use of netiquette, guidelines for courteous communication, or emoticons, Facial expressions are text-based, made with various keystrokes, or emojis, images or icons, often cartoon-like. With emojis, the expression or meaning can vary depending on the different platforms of the device or computer being used by receiver and sender. Instructional content analysis results serve as the basis for creating the instructional or learning objectives and assessment items, which is a part of the concurrent design stage. They may help direct the instructional strategies, which will be designed in terms of sequencing the information. Although most of this discussion to this point has been about the impact on design and delivery, the analysis findings impact the evaluation of the online instructional design project, the subject of Chapter 5. Overall, the data gathering methods, type of information gathered, and accuracy of the findings affects how future evaluations are planned and conducted, and the evaluator's ability to use various evaluation methodologies and tools. In other words, if performance data are the preferred source for the answer to a question, gathering attitude data will not be appropriate. As the remaining stages of the WBID model are completed, a periodic review of the analysis findings is in order. These reviews help designers do the following. 1. Discover other important findings that will impact the online instruction. 2. Make certain that the design of the instruction is on target and consistent with the findings. Gardenscapes. The TLDC has excellent hardware and software for online development and a knowledgeable staff for assistance and support. Elliot wants to take advantage of those resources. However, Callie wants to ensure that the online instruction doesn't become too sophisticated so that her targeted participants, who might be new to online learning, don't become overwhelmed. As part of the course overview, Elliot may need to develop information on how to get started in the course, how to interact with others, and how to send messages to the instructor to raise the comfort level of the participants, which in turn may help Callie by alleviating some of her concerns. Based on the instructional content analysis and the LTM, the information presented will be chunked into four major sections. Two additional sessions, one for course overview and another for course wrap-up, will be added. In total, Gardenscapes will be presented in six sessions for 1.2 CEUs, continuing education units. Visual examples and non-examples, which feature good and poor garden plans, will be incorporated into the instruction to showcase best practices and add motivational appeal. Callie used fun titles in the Garden Basics course that made these adult participants relax about being back in school. She thought they went over well and wants to use them in this course. Although somewhat skeptical about how much fun they are, Elliot acknowledges that they may help create a relaxed, informal tone to the course and agrees to use them. He notes that the strategy will be one to ask participants about during the formative evaluation. Because their findings indicate that the audience is highly motivated to learn, presenting the information must be kept interesting and relevant to the learners. Callie and Elliot realize that all of the participants may not be from the local area. The content, examples, will need to show typical plants and garden plans appropriate to other U.S. regions, and perhaps to other parts of the world. As they begin to work on the evaluation and concurrent design plans, Elliot refers to their analysis findings to make sure that all of the instructional and online elements and features will align. Both he and Callie want to be certain that they haven't missed other important information that could impact this project. Wrapping up. Instructional content analysis is the last part of the instructional component analysis and is where the major steps and subskills of the online instructional goal are determined and an LTM is created. Based on the LTM, the TOAB is begun with each learning task item and outcome level listed. In the final phases of the analysis stage, the preliminary goal statement is re-examined for consistency and clarity. Based on the analysis findings, changes to the preliminary goal statement may be made. The final goal statement will need to accurately identify and state the instructional purpose of the instruction. Once the analysis stage is completed, the designer will be able to articulate the instructional goal and its outcome level, and describe critical learner characteristics and pertinent contextual features. Additionally, the designer will be able to illustrate the relationship of the other major steps and subskills of the instructional content to the instructional goal using the LTM and the TOAB. Based on the results of the analysis stage, two plans are begun, one for the evaluation and another for the concurrent design. We explore these plans in the next four chapters. Extending your skills. Case Study 1, PK-12 Schools. Megan Bifford begins the instructional analysis of the 5th grade science curriculum using state and national standards, as well as the county's curriculum frameworks. At the same time, she begins to analyze the content from district-approved textbooks. She requests lesson planning books from the teachers to see how they organize their science classrooms and content. After gathering and reviewing the curricula, Megan creates an initial list of skills for discussion with her subject matter experts. She meets with two district teachers, Ainsley Lambert and Buzz Garrison, and the district science coordinator, Cassie Angus. They use Megan's brainstormed list as a beginning of specific skills that students need to acquire to improve their performance on the spring high-stakes exams. Using findings from the instructional component analysis, she revises her instructional goal to reflect an updated statement for the project. It now states, at the end of a unit on scientific inquiry, the student will be able to apply a scientific method to solve a case-based scenario. Incorporating all of the suggestions, Megan develops a draft LTM and aligns each skill to Bloom's Taxonomy Revised as she begins to develop the TOAB. After drafting these items, she sends the files to Cassie, Ainsley, and Buzz for additional review. Once she receives their feedback, she will be ready to begin to think about project evaluation. Case Study 2. Business and Industry. Homer Spotswood has collected all of the safety manuals and OSHA rules related to plant safety. He starts his instructional content analysis by listing all of the knowledge, skills, and abilities that individuals must display to meet safety requirements. Through the process, he considers how the items he is identifying will influence his use of instructional strategies in the final project. After his list is completed, he begins to create his LTM to sequence the content. As a check on his work, he meets with the plant safety officer, Greta Dottman, to confirm his LTM. As an additional check, he reviews similar training initiatives that are sponsored by the federal government. Once the LTM is approved, he begins the TOAB. Based on the analysis, the training goal is revised as follows. At the end of the training experience, employees will secure their work area and evacuate within 2 minutes. Case Study 3. Military. During his briefing of Commander Feinstein, Lieutenant Rex Danielson introduces EMSC Mancuso, Electrician's Mate Senior Chief, the senior instructor at the Electrician's Mate A School. E-squared C-squared is an introductory survey course requiring little prior knowledge of the field of electricity. E-squared C-squared will contain three major topics: Introduction to Matter, Energy, and Direct Current, Introduction to Alternating Current and Transformers, Introduction to Generators and Motors. Based on the content analysis, Lieutenant Danielson's team finalizes their goal statement to submit to Commander Feinstein and develops a set of implications for her review. The commander and Lieutenant Danielson are scheduled to provide a progress report to Captain Prentice soon. If the captain finds their analysis sound and their vision of the project's approach reasonable, they can begin to create the course LTM and TOAB. Case 4. Higher Education. Dr. Joe Shawn is not only the course instructor, but also the subject matter expert for the Advanced Management and Leadership course. As the SME, he identifies and sequences the required content to meet the stated objectives, as outlined in the department's approved course syllabus, and, then, builds the course topic outline. He asks Brian Cody, his teaching assistant, to conduct searches to locate websites and journal articles relevant to management practices and organizational operations to use as resources. Joe meets with other faculty who teach the Advanced Management and Leadership course to ensure that course topics are still consistent with their syllabi. They offer suggestions, and he finalizes the instructional goal. It is as follows. Students will apply management and leadership skills to business-related situations. Joe documents the meetings and materials. These documents will be useful resources when preparing for reaccreditation. One of the accrediting agencies for the College of Business is the American Association of Collegiate Schools of Business, AACSB. All of the proposed changes must meet established AACSB criteria.